Good morning. Well, first of all, of course, I'd like to wish everyone a very happy new year, a year ahead of us that is much better than what we've all experienced possibly in the last 12 months. That your year ahead will be filled with many blessings and with peace. I'd also like to, on behalf of my wife and I, thank you for your many, many cards and emails over the holiday season. My wife and I appreciate all of the kind words and thoughts that you sent to us, and we really appreciate it, and thank you very much, and hope that your holiday season was meaningful and filled with blessings as well. Today's message is based on the book of Jude, starting just in the first two verses. Jude, of course, is a very short book. It's only one chapter, and it's 25 verses long. But the very first two verses say, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. You may have noticed that from time to time I do quote Jude verse 2 at the bottom of emails or when writing cards or letters. It's interesting that probably 1950 years ago when this book was written, that sending a card or delivering mail or a letter was not that easy. In fact, there was no national post system, of course. If you were rich, you probably had a servant or a runner who would deliver a letter to a specific person. But if you could not afford that, the only way of getting a letter to somebody else would be to ask a passerby who was going in the direction of the person you were trying to send the letter to. You would ask a passerby or a friend who was going in that direction to deliver the letter for you. And sometimes you'd have to give them the instructions or the directions. And of course, the directions weren't nicely. They didn't have GPS, and they certainly didn't have Google Maps. What they had was, so you walk or ride for a couple of kilometers at the big tree with the three rocks at the bottom. You turn left for half a kilometer. You enter by the east gate of the town, and when you get to the town market or the town center, the person then with the letter would start calling out the name of the person for who the letter was for. And they would call, and of course many would hear that calling, and when they hear it, they would either direct the person to where the person is being called to, or that actual person would hear the calling himself or herself, and they would thank the courier and probably give him a coin or two. Many of course who heard the calling would also want to know what was in the letter, and in some cases may have even had the courage to ask. But interestingly enough, this letter from Jude was not just for that time of 1950 years ago. It has been delivered down through the ages and preserved for us today. It is inspired scripture, and it is a letter to us from God. But let's first see who was Jude. Jude, as it says in the very beginning of the very first verse, it says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Yeah, Jude was Jesus Christ's half-brother. But it's interesting, isn't it, that Jude says he doesn't claim to be his half-brother. He doesn't claim that infamy. What he does do is humbly say that he is a servant of Jesus Christ. He is a servant. And then he continues on and he describes his audience, who this letter is for. And in this letter, it says, in the second part of the first verse, it says, it is to those who are called, who are loved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. the recipients of this letter are those who are called, and the two phrases that are that describe those that are called are those who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. We are kept by the Holy Spirit. We are kept because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, as it says in Ephesians 4, verse 30. We have been called. We have been beloved, or we have the love in God the Father, and we are kept in Christ. You know, the fullness of this phrase, called and loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, should really give us a much deeper sense of God's grace. It's incredible when we think of it, that we are loved by the Father, kept for the Son, and called by the Spirit. We are called, we are loved, and we are kept. You know, when we put these words together, they should bring us comfort, especially for those of us, and for all of us, actually, especially in this time of the pandemic and some of the other many stresses that we are going through, trials that people are confronting with their health, other family issues, just what's happening in the world around us today. It should bring us comfort that our faith is shored up, our hope is increased in these difficult times, that we are encouraged in our trials because we have been called, loved by the Father, and kept in Christ. We are encouraged and comforted in that we have been set apart, called, loved, and kept as recipients of God's great blessings and above all, His grace. You know, Peter himself used very similar phrases at the beginning of some of his letters. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "To those who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood," it says, "grace and peace be yours in abundance." In 2 Peter 1, verse 2, he writes, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Now, to the called, to the beloved, those who are loved in God the Father and kept in Jesus Christ, Jude adds three very important things. The first of these three, or these three blessings, thanks to God's grace, is mercy. Where God's grace prevails, we find mercy. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Our time of need is now, and it will continue until the return of Jesus Christ. This mercy by God's grace is from the Father. As it says, it, you know, His mercy endures forever. There is mercy because God has forgiven us. There is mercy where God provides for us. There is mercy where He restores us. There is mercy where He protects us. There is mercy when He will crown us. He delights in mercy. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Because of His great love for us, God who is rich in mercy." It is by His great grace. It is by His great mercy and His grace and His love that He did the ultimate. He gave our punishment for our sins to His Son so that we might have life. We all know this scripture, but it's worth repeating. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we were healed. This was all by his great mercy, God's grace. It's hard to imagine the amount of mercy we really do receive every moment of every day. I'd like to read a little excerpt that helps maybe describe mercy in a different way. It's about a poor woman who lived in the slums of London who was invited to go for the very first time with a group of people to a holiday at the ocean. She had never seen the ocean before, and when she saw it, the first thing she did was she burst into tears. Those around her thought it was strange that this poor woman, who had basically nothing, should cry when she saw such a lovely holiday had been given to her. And one of her traveling companions asked, "Why in the world are you crying?" And she pointed to the ocean with tears in her eyes. She answered, "This is the only thing I have ever seen that there was ever enough of." See, God has oceans of mercy. There is enough of it. And God delights to show his mercy and compassion on us. I wonder if that woman was thinking of what is written in Micah chapter 7, verse 19. "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will be able to cast all our sins into the depths of the sea, into the depths of the oceans." The second blessing is where grace prevails and we find peace. Peace through the Son. He is our peace. In Ephesians 2, verses 13 to 14, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." In John chapter 14, it says, Jesus gives us peace. Further on in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "He preached peace. Therefore, great shall be the peace of God's children." And how did Christ bring peace? In Colossians 1, verse 20, Paul writes it very concisely. He says, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." It was peace, or it is peace, by the power of the cross, the peace of the cross, thanks to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have been given peace. We have been given freedom. But also peace comes in abundance when we do as we are asked, where we are told that in First Peter chapter 3, verse 11, that we must turn from evil and do good. We must seek peace and pursue it. Turn from evil, do good, seek peace. Turn away from evil and our old self. Search for peace, seek for peace, work to maintain peace. It's repeated, of course, from Peter, repeated what was in Psalm 34. Turn away from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. And then the third blessing is where where grace prevails and we have love. So once again, before we go into the part of love, we're talking about what Jude writes in this second verse, where he says, May mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. In abundance. So the third blessing, where grace prevails, we find love. And love is from the Holy Spirit. And hope does not put us to shame, it says in Romans 5, verse 5, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. We didn't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't work for it. It's a gift. And it is the most powerful, heart-changing, mind-changing gift we could ever ask for. And it is a gift of love. It's a gift based on love. Just a little bit further in Romans 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, all these things are all pulled together. The mercy, the peace, and the love. It all comes to what Christ has done for us. And how are we to receive these in more abundance? We receive these in abundance from God, but we are also able to make these available in abundance to others. How do we do this? In John chapter 14, verses 21, starting in verse 21, it says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus says in verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. You see, we love more abundantly by obeying the teachings of Christ. We love more abundantly by keeping the law of loving God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. We love more abundantly because we love our neighbor as ourselves. So in summary, let's just take a look at these two verses. What it basically says is, where grace prevails, we, those set apart, those who are called, who are loved and kept, find mercy and peace and love in abundance. You know, we don't deserve God's grace. We all know that. His gift is incredible. But it is this gift that he has been given to us, we can give some to others. We can give as well mercy, peace, and love in abundance. Jesus reminds us of that. He reminds us of that. He reminded us of that in Matthew chapter 5, where in the Beatitudes in verse 7, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Be peaceful, for blessed are the peacemakers, because we will be called children of God. And by loving, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. So here we have, in this very short opening to this letter from Jude, we have mercy from God the Father, who is called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We have peace from the Son, for he is our peace, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2. And we have love from the Spirit, as we read in Romans 5, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given us. Where grace prevails, we have mercy, peace, and love in abundance. Why did Jude write this letter? The answer is next week, or we'll go through the answer next week, when we read how we are to contend for the faith, as it is written in starting in verse 3 of Jude. In the meantime, for the weeks and days in this year ahead, may mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Just want to close with a short prayer. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, your peace, and your love. Thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, whose power is that of love, who intercedes, who advocates for us, who sanctifies us, who prepares us, all out of love. Thank you, great God. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.